Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday and Sunday, it's the 32nd annual All-American 400 at the Fairground Speedway Nashville, presented by Freeman Web Company. It's the return of the super late models, ready to do 800 laps of gear jamming, door slamming battle. On the high banks of the Fairground Speedway Nashville, over 120 drivers competing for the cash. Two incredible days of racing action. On Saturday, green flag drops at 5:30, and featuring the legend, Pro Mods, Front Runners, Pure Stock, Super Street, and the Sportsman Series. Also on Saturday, free bouncy house for the kids, money drop, and TV giveaway. And then on Sunday, get ready for the big one. At 12 noon, the green flag drops on the All-American 400. It's pro late models and super late models battling for the prize.
For times and tickets, go to fairgroundspeedwaynashville.com.
It's the big one. October 1st and 2nd, the 32nd annual All-American 400. Presented by Freeman Web Company at the Fairgrounds Speedway Nashville, where the legend continues. News.
Thank you. On behalf of General Tire, where anywhere is possible, drivers, start your engines!
All right, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to Monday Night Rowdy Maglite Racing. I'm Rowdy Maglite, your host and your co-host, Mark. Mark and I just got back from Kentucky Speedway. Mark, how are we doing this evening?
I'm doing well, Rowdy. How about yourself? We had a great time this past Friday and Saturday.
Had an absolutely wonderful time, Mark. It's nothing like being at the track and being able to see all your friends and hang out for 2 days.
Well, it was a great time, Rowdy, and I had my eyes open and ears open about a few of the people we met and saw and heard, and it made me feel pretty good. So, yeah, somebody's listening out there, and keep on and spread the word, please.
Well, Mark, you know, we had, was it Kentucky Speedway? It was the 19th race on the 20 race season for ARCA. And our winner was Austin Cedric. He's the driver of the number 99 for Cunningham Motorsports this weekend. It was actually his third start in ARCA and actually the eighth first-time winner this year at ARCA. And it's been an absolutely fabulous year to be able to follow ARCA and be part of it, Mark.
Wow, Rowdy, I didn't realize it was the eighth different first-time winner we've had. That just says, you know, how much ARC has gone to make it competitive and equal and to get these guys out here in good equipment and let them go at it. Wow, eight different first-time winners. That's almost unheard of.
Well, it was actually the 23rd race that ARCA has been at Kentucky, and we've had 19 different winners at Kentucky. And that says a lot, too, Mark. So says a whole lot for Kentucky.
Well, I have to go stats, Rowdy. You know, I've always depended on you on those ones. But, wow, that's quite an amount, only four repeat winners out of 23 races. That's something else, boy.
Well, you know, we had six cautions in that race, Mark. You know, with the new repave, they wasn't a whole lot of passing. You know, pretty much all the passing was done on the restarts.
Those first couple laps were always real, real exciting, and you didn't know if you were going to have another caution right away or not when they restarted. Yeah, the repave gave them a little uncertainty and maybe a little uncomfortableness at first, but by the end of the race, they were jostling pretty good, and Austin was able to pull it off in fine fashion, and congratulations to him on his win.
Well, you know, Bo Mastic was there, and Bo's the president of Cosley, and Cosley was the Cosley 150, And the way we finished the top five was Austin Cedric was first. Hey, how about that Dalton Sargent? I mean, that 55 was fast, too. It was all the way down to the very end for Dalton. He was right there with Austin.
Yeah, it wasn't a runaway victory. And I would say the top five, six were all together, and anything could have happened on that last restart. And Austin got the good restart and got out front and was able to hold on and win it.
Well, Matt Tifton was third. Hey, how about Tom Hesser? Now, you never can count Tom out. He's always in the top five, top ten. He finished fourth. And Matt Kowski, you know, Matt hadn't kicked the door down, but he sure has been close. He finished fifth.
Yeah, Matt had a good run. He had a good run the week before at Chicagoland also. So, yeah, their Speedway program seems to be turning around, and Matt seems to be a little more comfortable doing it.
Well, that number six, John Williams and that Muscleman Applesauce, he finished sixth. Brett Holmes started off tough first lap, kind of lost the grip on the tires and spun out. Really didn't do a whole lot of damage to the car, but, you know, just enough to keep him held back. A.J. Fike, he was eighth. Shane Lee was ninth. And Mark Thomas finished 10th. That was a top 10 there. Awesome weekend, Mark. I tell you, you know, people don't realize how hard we work at the track to go and meet as many people on the show and the people, their PR guys that represent them. And then you turn around and you add the ARCA officials. It makes for a full day, and you still don't get to them all. And if we didn't get to you, it's not because we wasn't trying to avoid you. It's just because we had not got to you, or you was extremely busy when we did try to get to you.
Yeah, Rowdy, we don't want to interrupt when there's business going on, or you're working on the car, or you're dealing with other people, and we try to look for our openings, and they're not always there for us. But for some reason, everybody we kind of needed to see at Kentucky found us on pit road during the race, so we were able to accomplish a few things, and things look really, really great for next year. We've got some wonderful plans in the air, and we hope to solidify everything in the next few weeks.
Yes, sir. Well, tonight we're going to our guest tonight's going to be the promoter at the Fairgrounds Speedway in Nashville, Tony Formosa. And Tony was on my show March the 14th before ARCA actually rolled in there. And it's the 32nd annual All-American 400, which is the 1st and 2nd of October.
Well, this one's near and dear to my heart. Rowdy, you know me. I like my super late models. They're kind of my love for race cars, if I have one. But next to the ARCA cars, yep, I like my super late model racing, and this is one of the best. It's kind of the triple crown for the super late models between this race and Winchester and the race down in Pensacola in December, the Snowball Derby. So it's not often that you can win the triple crown, but there's going to be a few guys we're going to see try it out. And it's kind of a, not monetary, but to say you did it, yeah, it says something to your peers.
Well, Tony's going to be on here in a few minutes, but I'm going to tell you, I went back and listened to the archives of the show on the 14th of March, and you can tell by Tony, everybody's just getting ready for a great interview, because Tony absolutely loves the fairgrounds, and you can tell by his enthusiasm and the way he promotes the track. And I'm looking forward to being there this weekend and being part of the 400 and being back with you again, Mark, where it all began for you and I in April.
It's hard to believe that we've gone this full circle already, Rowdy, but we have. And, yeah, I'm always looking. Nashville's a great place. If you get a chance, folks, get out there this weekend. The price of admission alone makes it worth going to. The $15 if you go up to the walk up on Sunday and buy a ticket. $10 if you purchase it before this Wednesday, I believe. Is that not correct?
Well, I know that if you do if you buy the 2 days, it's $20 for the 2 day pass.
Okay.
Mark, which
okay.
Is, I mean, that's hard to beat right there. They also have a military discount, a senior citizen discount. They have great prices for the kids, 5 and under free. They've got bouncy houses on Saturday. They've got the money drop, which I'm kind of looking forward to that money drop, Mark.
Oh, yeah, I am too. We're going to be around there. Maybe we can be kids for a day. No, they've got
any day.
They've got some plans.
And Tony's going to fill us in all that when he gets here. But I tell you, just listening to him last time, I mean, Nashville has such a rich history. And it's a pleasure just to be there and be part of it. The old grandstands, I mean, there's not a bad seat in the house. I don't care where you're at.
No, it isn't. And you're right. It is steeped in such a tradition, the 32nd annual. And luckily for me, I've probably maybe missed 4 or 5 of those. And always been one of my favorite races, always one of my go-to races every year. And it is again. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to spending it with you, Rowdy. And we're going to have another good weekend at the races.
Well, just kind of back to Kentucky Speedway a minute. Sarah Chong, Carnette Chong, was in a pretty serious, actually probably one of the most serious wrecks that the Elmore engine and the new composite body, all both of them together, was in. And Sarah come out pretty good on that. I read a little something today, I believe, where she was going to get with Dale Jr. and talk about the concussion and kind of go from there on that. But Mark, she hit it hard. I don't know if you've seen the replay on it, but it was a tough lick.
Yeah, I watched the replay of the race from Friday when I got home, and it was a hard one of the harder hits I've seen, and you just don't realize how fast they really are going there when they hit. They're hitting 180, 190 in that area, and wow, she hit a ton.
Hey, and let's throw the hat back out to John Roberts there in the General Tire Group. They had the display back on the midway. All you had to do was fill out a real quick survey. You got a lanyard, a hat. The group I was with, they all went over. We all went over on Saturday afternoon, and didn't take them just a minute. And then we all paraded back with our good General Tire hats, and it was they enjoyed it. I mean, just being able to go down through there, and you know, Mark, they even had T-shirts on sale, which was from the Kentucky race in June, $5 a piece. Wow, what a price for a T-shirt!
Wow, what a nice way to get a souvenir, and without having to spend a lot of money. That's a great, and they're nice heavy duty shirts.
Well, you know, and it's still this year. I mean, the June race, that's not that far away to get it. And they really wore nice shirts. You know, crowd wasn't that big. You know, next year when they roll in there, it's a great place to go watch a race. I mean, it really is a great place. And if you need a little room, you've got a little room to stretch out there.
Yeah, bring the whole brood. It's a great place to bring the family and not have to spend a lot of money, see a good race, not sit there for 4 hours. You're in and out. You see a good race. You're well satisfied, and you get to go home and not fight the crowds. It's hard to beat, Rowdy. It really is.
Well, you know, there again, Mark, we were pretty much kind of consoling with the ARCA group and a lot of the PR guys from all the way from the bottom to the top. And everybody's pretty much on target on what we want to do next year. And we're still working on it. But for the off season, if you want to learn a little bit more about the ARCA series, this off season is going to be the race the year to listen to us and find out what the racing in ARCA is all about, because we're going to cover it from the tires all the way to the engine.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, Rowdy, because I need to be educated a little bit myself. So I'm looking forward to that. And, yeah, we want to do some things different and some things special. And we want you to be able to go to the track and know what the heck's going on with the cars.
Well, you know, we talked about that. It's really going to help both of us. Those questions that people ask us, sometimes I can answer, and a lot of the times I can, and there's some I can't. And we're both still learning at it too, Mark. And after when we line up for the first race, I believe that's on the 18th, we're going to be ready. But I got Tony on the line, and we're going to talk about the All-American 400 coming up here this weekend, and welcome him back again to the show. Hey, Tony, welcome back, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me on.
Man, I'll tell you, we're just talking about what a great show you had with us on the 3rd, or which was March the 14th, and that's actually when Mark and I met at the race, and you see what Mark's my co-host now and really has added a lot to our show. So I don't know what we're going to go home after we get back after 2 days of racing and thrilling the thrilling ride that you got going on. We were actually talking about some of the stuff, the activities that you got going on there, Tony. Can you kind of tell us what you got going on Friday and Saturday?
Well, yeah, I can. You know, everything starts on Thursday. Actually, we on Thursday, you know, the pit gates open at 1 o'clock, and then at 2 o'clock, the tech gates open. From 3 to 7, we have open practice for the local cars qualifying for the quarter mile division. Open practice for quarter mile and limited, which the limited sportsman is a great division that we have going on the 5/8 mile. It consists of perimeter cars only, and you know, either truck or car, and a division that has numerous winners and a lot of potential. A lot of young drivers are stepping up to the 5/8 mile track, and basically what they're doing is you know, cutting their teeth in these heavier cars with crate motors and whatnot, and they're learning the 5/8 mile track. So they're going to be practicing on Thursday. And then the quarter mile guys will be qualifying on Thursday night. So and limited sportsmen as well. Then Friday, September 30th, the pit gate opens at 8 a.m. and 9 o'clock to 11 a.m. we'll have parking for the late model rigs, and then late model rigs only. Now at 11:30 to 6 p.m. we'll have pro late model and super late model qualifying tire selection, where they'll go in there and they will pick out their qualifying tires, and they'll do that according to the way they entered for this race and whatnot. So we'll close the track at 8 o'clock that night, and then Saturday, October the 1st, is when all the action starts. The pit gates open at 8 a.m. 8:45, we have a driver's meeting for the late models only. 9:30, we have super late model tire selection. Now, that is for all their tires. Their tires that they'll be putting on in the race and whatnot. From 11:30 to 1 p.m., we'll have pre-qualifying tech in groups from 1 to 11 a.m., we'll have super late model pre-qualifying tech in groups. 2:30 p.m., the grandstand's open. 3 o'clock, quarter mile, and limited late model drivers meeting. And then at 3 o'clock, the qualifying for the pro late models and the super late models that will lock in only the top 28 in these divisions. So they're going to be the rest of the people that make the field are going to they're going to have to race their way in. Now, at 5:15, we'll have the pre-race ceremonies. At 5:30, the green flag will drop for all of our quarter-mile divisions. The Legends cars will run 20 laps. Front runner cars will run 30 laps. The Super Street cars will run 30 laps. Pro mods will run 20 laps. Pure stocks will run 25 laps. Sports will run 35 laps. And then we'll run a last chance race if needed for the super late models and the pro late models. We'll have intermission, and then we'll have a limited late model. We'll run a 60-lap race, and boy, that's going to be a good one. These guys only run 40 laps, but we had to cut one of their races short in the August 27th race. We just ran completely out of time. We had to cut the race short, so we're gonna add 20 laps to their regular schedule, and they're gonna race for $2,000 to win. We'll also have the crowning of all of our local division champions on Saturday night, August the 1st. Sunday morning, August. Sunday, October the 2nd, 8 a.m. pit gate opens, 8:45 driver's chapel service, 9:00. Mandatory drivers meeting, no show, you go to the rear. That's what Ricky Brooks has enforced all year and in all races. At 9:30 a.m., race tires will be released. 10:00, pro late model cars through tech and on the grid. 11 to 12, super late model cars through tech on the quarter mile track in race order. 9:30 a.m., the grandstands will open. 11 a.m., pre-race ceremony begins. And at 12 o'clock high, the green flag will drop on the Hunter Sand and Gravel Big Machine Pro Late Model Records Division. And then the crowning of the Hunter Sand and Gravel Big Machine Record Pro Late Model Champion will be crowned. And then as soon as all that's over and everything, we will start the grand finale. 400 action-packed laps of super late model, and as you guys know, these super late models are the no joke guys. 600 horsepower plus, they're going to go at it for 400 laps. We're bringing it back to its roots, 400 laps on a 5/8 mile, and you know, it's going to be a great race. I mean, there are people coming from all over the country. You guys would not believe the tickets that we've already sold and the names and the people that are coming here. You know, so it's definitely going to be the one to watch. I'm excited because you know, guys, I've never had a 400 lap race here. Now I ran in that race in 1977. Before it was the All American, it was the Southern 400. Butch Lindley actually won the race. Mike Alexander finished second to him. Butch Applegate from East Tennessee finished third, and none other than Tony Famosa Jr. finished fourth. And my best finish in a big race like that. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, Mr. Donahoe paid me a $5 bill. I came in, I had an army jacket on. The race was running in November back then, and Daddy said, "What did we win, son?" And I started pulling out $5 bills, and he fell out of his chair. He didn't have a clue how much money we won. It looked like $20,000, all those $5 bills, but that's what I guess it cost to get in the race back then, and that's what Mr. Donahoe paid us off, and it was $5 bills cash. So really excited about it. The weather's going to be great. It's going to be 70 degrees, no rain in the forecast. Just crystal clear, great racing weather, great weather for the fans. And like I say, guys, it's going to be one that it's going to be one that nobody wants to miss. I can promise you that.
Tony, you know, and the price is absolutely, I mean, for what you just got through calling out, the price is phenomenal. And I'm going to turn it over to Mark, because Mark has really anticipated in your shows in the past. And let Mark go ahead.
Yeah, and I've got some stuff that, you know, I have worked on to highlight, just especially for the show, some drivers' names and whatnot that I feel like are you know, pretty interesting and whatnot, and you know, we'll talk about that before we go off the air and let everyone know, you know, the Alabama drivers and whatnot that we have participating in the 32nd annual All-American 400. So, you guys got any questions or anything you want to talk about, just feel free to ask me, and we'll go from there.
Mark?
Yeah,
Mark,
yeah, Tony.
Floor, brother.
All righty. Tony, I've been anxiously awaiting this conversation with you. I've been to 25-plus of the All-American 400s. Unfortunately, I've missed one or two here or there, and always one of my favorites of the year. And you're doing a great job in getting all your divisions involved, from the lowest to the highest with the pro-late models. That's got to be difficult making everybody happy, but you seem to be doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is difficult to make everybody happy. And you know what? You can't make everybody happy. And, you know, here's the deal, Mark. I was born a racer, and I'll buy a racer. My dad was one of the early pioneers that started this place up here initially. And I can remember the first time, my furthest memories of my childhood are from right here at this very facility. I remember the first race that my mom brought me to. It was the first race of the asphalt track. It was in 1958. They had reconstructed the Fairground Speedways. It was initially a one-mile dirt horse racing track, and the old coupes and everything raced on it, you know, for several years. My memory doesn't go back quite that far, but I do remember when the asphalt racing started. And you know, so I've been around a long time. Like I say, I was born a racer, and I'll die a racer, and I live, sleep, and breathe the sport of stock car racing. I actually, believe it or not, never had a shadow of a thought to ever become the promoter of the great facility that I'm the promoter of. But you know, I started a ride deal, where we were giving people rides in some of my kind of outdated old race cars, and we, you know, we came up with a deal to help promote the track in 09, 08 and 09, and we took some old cars in a truck and put two seats in them and started giving people rides in them, and we just named it the Ride of Your Life, and it went over well, and it was something that we really loved to do because being a racer all my life and everything, we were able to, you know, to show people what we live, sleep, and breathe all of our life, you know, gave them an opportunity to see what it was like to go around the racetrack at 120 miles an hour, you know, on the high banks of the Fairground Speedways. And so suddenly in 2009, there was a big question mark on what was going to happen at the Speedway. You know, it looked as though that the track was not going to open up anymore. And the next thing I know, they're saying that the city was saying that they didn't want the track operating anymore. So, you know, I couldn't sleep at night there for about 3 days, and I came down and I knew the executive director from a long time back, and I came in and just kind of got the scoop on what was going on. They said the mayor didn't want the track to go forward anymore. They were going to close it down. And I went home and I said, you know, I can't dream of what it's going to be like for this racetrack not to be here. So my dad had passed a few years prior to that, and and I had a little extra money, and I went home and I put a proposal together, and I came back a couple of days and laid it on the executive director's desk, and he said, "Well, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we'll give it a try." They called me back a couple of days prior and said, "Come on in," and they told me, they said, "You know, we think your numbers are way off, and we don't think you can do this, and we encourage you not to try to do this. You know, we don't want to see you go broke." And I said, "Well, you know, I appreciate the concern and whatnot, but I just, you know, this facility is like home to me, and I have to see it. I have to see it to go forward. And if I can't make it, I guess I'll just go down swinging, you know." They gave us 5 races the first year. We packed a house in every one of them, and so here we are today, you know. And I think one of the reasons why we have that winning edge on all the divisions and all of the drivers and whatnot is because I'm a racer myself. I've done it all my life. I won a lot of races. We won a lot of championships, you know. I was born and bred in a stock car racing, and I know how to communicate with these guys. I know how to shift gears with them. I know what makes them happy, and I know how they like to be treated. And so we just, you know, we just try to do everything just like, you know, we were still racing. We treat people like we want to be treated. But it is very difficult to make everyone happy. You're not going to make everyone happy, no matter who you are, how hard you try. But you know what? It doesn't cost a lot of money to walk down there and pat a guy on the back and say, "Hey, great job. Appreciate you coming. Hope you come back next week." And we appreciate your support and everything, not only to the drivers, but, you know, to the great people that are our sponsors and our marketing partners, and right down to the fans. You know, I make a special trip to the stage. I do my Fairground Speedway's money drop at every race, where we literally throw $1,000 in cash off of the roof and $1 bills, and it looks like $10,000. And the people love it. The kids love it. We're all about families. We're all about kids. We're all about affordable entertainment. You know, I mean, you can buy a ticket to come see 2 days of racing at the legendary Fairground Speedway for a very, very small price of $20. You know, or you can buy a ticket to come see the All American 400 for $15, you know, on Sunday only. And I was looking through some programs the other day. In 1969, it cost exactly $15 to come to the Southern 300, you know. So we're charging the same amount of money that the Speedway did in 1969, and we hope to pack the house. You know, our sport is seems like, you know, it gets less support all the time from, you know, from government and cities and whatnot, and you know, we just keep turning heads and opening eyes and just keep working to make it the best we can make it, because that's all we know how to do. You know, we love stock car racing. I'm actually walking around in my shop right now. I just got here and talked to you guys on the phone, and I'm fixed to go to work on a customer's engine. I build engines and carburetors, and I've got 13 race cars of my own, so you know, I know how frustrating it is. I know how hard of a work it is. I know how expensive it is. And we just try to make it the best we can, you know, for our customers, our drivers, our fellow competitors and everything, and try to give them the fairest shake in tech and keep everyone coming back, you know. A little kindness, a little respect goes a long way, and that's what we're about, man.
I have to agree with you on that, Tony, and I like that you're going outside the box a little bit in your pit procedures for the race this year. I was in attendance of the Dixieland 250, and I know you've been in contact with Greg McCarns. And how did you come about to decide to go with that pit system for the 400 this year?
With the pit strategy?
Yes, sir.
Well, Ricky Brooks actually had a lot to do with that, And we've been kicking it around, you know. We're always looking for something to, you know, three different deals. we're looking for something to make it more affordable. You know, it costs a lot of money to bring high-dollar tire changers in, the pit equipment, the nitrogen. You know, I mean, I think that, that's one thing that, has really hurt our sport on this level, on super late model and pro late model racing. You know, I mean, it costs a lot of money to load a race car up and prepare a race car to come run an event like this, much less having to take your crew and put them in motels and feed them and whatnot. And a lot of guys can't compete just for that certain reason right there. They can't afford it. As you guys know, as stock car racing on this level matured and got better and better and better in the glory days of Dick Trickle and Bob Seneker and the North versus the South, Civil War on Wheels, you know, All Pro versus ASA, you know, and those were the glory days, and we're trying to bring the race back to its roots, to bring it back to that. But I can remember so many times that I saw the race won in the pits, because somebody had a lightning fast pit crew and they had the money to pay these guys. And back then, you know, you could put as many tires on as you want to. And then I can remember seeing people like Gary Ballou and guys like that, not saying anything bad about them because they're the historians, they're the archives of our sport and whatnot. And but it's so expensive. So you know, we're also all constantly looking for a way to put more strategy into the race, to make it more competitive, to give a guy a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, kind of like what we do on a quarter mile. We put a cone out there. We cone race, you know, and you know, once you get to the cone on one to go, you can either go to the inside or outside. You might have a guy that's running 12th or 15th place, and he decides to go to the outside. And he can gain sometimes 10 spots, you know, and it just puts more competition, more competitiveness into the race. You know, keeps the fans interested, keeps the gives the drivers a second chance. So you know,
excitement.
We're always looking for a way to cut the cost down racing. In my eyes, the crate motors are the greatest thing that have happened to racing, you know, in a million years. You know, I mean, you go buy a motor, you don't have to spend $30,000 or $40,000. Now you do a super motor, but a pro car and whatnot, you know, it goes back to the tires. You know, I mean, there's so many people that want to run the soft tires, the 40s and the 45s. Nope, we run 50s all the way around. That's a right side tire. They don't have the grip. They don't have the you know, the automatic grip. You know, this makes it become more of a driver's event. You know, I mean, you have to, the driver gets to show his talent. You know, it's not all about the man that has the most money. You know, money's great and everything to have, and you can buy a lot of things with money. You know, the old saying, money buys speed. But we're just, you know, constantly doing this, and Ricky and I talk about it. I think that ARCA had done this some in the past, and you know, it's just there's a lot of historic promotions in this race. You know, as you know, it's called the Civil War on Wheels, the North versus the South. You know, and you take the greatest of the Southern drivers and the greatest of the Northern drivers, and you put an S on the Southern guy's car and an N on the Northern guy's car, I've seen a little teamwork on that, you know, in the past, but it just puts a lot of fire and a lot of electricity into the event, you know, stuff that we need to see, stuff that we need to have, you know. So I think it's going to be good, and you know what? As soon as we put that out, we immediately picked up a few more entries. So, you know, guys, I've been all over the place on this All-American 400. This is my sixth season, and And I didn't have the Speedway in 2011. The All-American 400 was, the administration was done over, under another promotion, and the All-American 400 was canceled. Yeah, we brought it back in 2010. We had a great All-American 400, and then someone else got the track in 2011 because they outbid us, and they canceled the All-American. So when we came back in 2012, we had to start all over again. We wound up doing a race with Tommy Mayberry with South Pass, and it was a good race, but we had lousy weather. And then I started making changes, you know. I thought, let's make this thing a pro race, and we'll have, you know, a whole lot of cars, and the guys that run supers, you know, it's really no different than a super late model, a pro late model, other than 150 horsepower. A pro late model is a 450 horsepower, a super late model is a 600 horsepower. So they're the same car, they weigh the same, they run the same tires and everything. There's just a lot more power, a lot more strategy. You don't have to work as hard with a super late model in the corners because you have a lot more straightaway speed. So you use a 600 horses down the straightaway and you let it roll in a corner. You don't have to work. But in a pro car, you have to dig getting in the middle and coming off, you know, just all the way through. So, I tried some different things, and I guess the biggest mistake that I ever made was not bringing the race back to its original roots. You know, you had these guys in the background that were saying, you know, 300 laps of super racing and 100 laps of pro racing, that ain't All-American 400. That ain't what it's like. And you know what? They were right. I didn't want to hear those ghosts in the background. But so last year I was having my radio show, and some guy called in, and he said, you know, I would love to see that race go back to 400 laps like it regularly was. And I was just about to release it, and something hit me upside the head. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to go on and put it out right now. Next year the All-American 400 is going back to its roots. It's going to be true 400 laps of racing. And I think there's a lot of people excited about that. I think there's a lot of people that are kind of sitting on the fence to see how it's going to be. But I guarantee you, this time next year, there'll be double the attendance. There'll be double the participants. I guarantee you, after this race goes over, what my agenda is number one, to sell every seat in the house. Number two, to bring back stock car racing at its best at that facility. You know, once upon a time, this was the biggest short track race in the country. It was the Daytona 500 of late model racing, and that is my agenda. I don't know if we'll ever out-duel the attendance and the car count that Tim Bryant has at Pensacola at Five Flags. Not my agenda to outduel anyone. I just want to make the All-American back like it used to be. You know, a great event, and I think that we're on the right track. All we need is a little good weather, and the rest of it I think will mature itself.
Well, it looks like we're going to have the good weather this weekend, and
man, it does. Well, how could you argue with 70 degrees?
It's going to be wonderful. Perfect racing weather, more or less. And you couldn't ask for anything better. My wife left me a little note, and she goes, she loves going to the races there because she likes seeing all the different license plates from all the different states and Canada that are always in the parking lot there for the races, especially the All-American 400.
Exactly. And golly, I haven't counted to see how many different states we have drivers from, but just looking at the entry list right here, Munford, Alabama, Franklin, Texas, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Herbert, Wisconsin, Lawrenceville, Georgia, Stanford, Wisconsin, West Palm Beach, Florida, Monticello, Wisconsin, Kannapolis, North Carolina, Mount Juliet, Tennessee, Fort Smith, Arkansas, Oakdale, California, West Conva, California, Sonora, Georgia, Bonacqua, Tennessee, Jasper, Georgia, Daltonville, Georgia, Clayton, Alabama, Coles, Wisconsin, Van Buren, Arkansas, Bakersfield, California, Sharpsburg, Virginia, Concord, North Carolina, Mooresville, North Carolina, golly, Pinellas Park, wherever that's at, I don't even know what state it is.
I think that's Florida.
Is it?
I believe it's Florida.
Monica, Rayton, Florida, Cotton, California, Fruitport, Missouri, Hazel Green, Alabama, Huntington Beach, Georgia, Sonora, Wisconsin, Mount Sydney, Virginia, St. Joseph, Canada, Helen, Alabama, Mount Juliet, Tennessee. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And these are guys like Matt Craig, Brent Holmes, Justin Ashburn, Augie Grill. A lot of our local guys are going to be in supers. Austin Brawley, Justin Ashburn, Cole Rouse. Derek Thorne, all the way from Clayton, Alabama. Spencer Davis, Van Buren, Arkansas. Ralph Lesser, PCC Sharpsburg, California. Joe Myers from right here in Tennessee. Johnny Brazier, Stephen Wallace, Bobby Knox, Hazel Green, Dennis Schoenfield, St. Joseph, Bubba Pollard, Alabama. You know, and then you get over to the pro side of it, you got a lot of guys that are pulling double duties, and you got a lot of guys that have not even entered yet. But, you know, you talk about Derek Scott Jr. from Franklin, Texas. You got Cal Donahue from Wellwood, Missouri. Bob Sterling Marlin, Ray Clemens, Duttonville, Alabama, Sterling Marlin, Columbia, Tennessee, Mason Mingus, Nashville, Tennessee, Willie Allen, Bon Aqua, Tennessee. Willie Allen is just, you know, one of the best pro racers in the business. You know, Billy Sisco, Davey Coble, Daniel Boland, Michael Boland, Stacy Crane, Paul Malter, and Preston Boers, a kid that showed a lot of muscle, Dylan Oliver, Bowling Green, Kentucky. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and there's more to come. You know, there's a lot of guys that don't even pre-register. They register when they get there. So there's no telling where this thing's going to go. But I guarantee you one thing. Whenever you get that many cars and that much talent on a great facility like the Fairground Speedways is, you know, guys, this is a speedway that has produced more. I want you to listen to this now. This is a fact. This speedway has produced more drivers to professional levels of stock car racing, more Daytona 500 champions than any and all other speedways in America combined. It has been the grammar school, the kindergarten of guys like Dale Earnhardt Jr., Bobby Allison, Davey Allison, Clifford Allison, the guys that sent their, you know, Dale Earnhardt Sr. told Junior, he said, go to Nashville. If you can go to the Fairground Speedways and race and win, you can race and win anywhere in the country. Richard Petty sent Kyle here. Richard Petty sent Adam here. I can just go on and on and on and on and on. I'm really proud to say this. I get really worked up, you know, when I start talking about the track, because it is the second oldest speedway in America, but it is now the oldest active speedway in America. The Milwaukee Mile had it beat by 2 years, and the Milwaukee Mile is not active right now. It's still there, but it's not active. So this is the oldest speedway in America that just has tons and tons of statistics that has been the starting grounds of so many people, you know, so many great names and everything have started right here. Reasons? you know, what is it? Is it because of the town? What can you do in Nashville, Tennessee? What can't you do in Nashville, Tennessee? You can see anything you want to. You can go anywhere you want to. It's a great town to come visit. You'll have a lot of fun here. It's just a great town, you know, with the country music and all the neat stuff we have here. But the Speedway, it's just a perfect challenge between man and machine. It's the layout of the track, the high banks, the long straightaways. You know, it's just you can race 3 wide, you can race 4 wide. We have 2 racetracks. We have a great quarter mile track. It's just a little small flat track, and you'll see door to door, wheel to wheel, bumper to bumper, paint swapping, tempers flying, rubber, sparks, whatever you want to see. You can come to the Fairground Speedways and you'll see it. And I say this, as I always say, guys, if anybody ever comes to the Fairground Speedways and they feel like they don't get their money's worth, I will gladly give them their money back. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge of it because that's where you're going to be sitting. And I have never in my entire life, and this is the most, this is the greatest statement of all, that I am more proud of this than anything. I have never, in the 43 years that I competed at the Fairground Speedways, and the years that I have been active there, and the places I've been and the people I've met, I have never one time, and I raised my hand on a stack of Holy Bibles on this statement, I have never, ever met anyone that had anything negative to say about this racetrack. Every driver, every fan, every person that's ever been to this track loved it, absolutely loved it. Now, you know, with that being said, I can't say anything any better, you know, but that's the truth. And so you know, with that statement and the statistics, the history, the layout of the track and what we got going on, I say if you miss out, you know what, it's going to be your loss, not mine, because I'm going to be there, you know.
And we're going to be there, and we're really looking forward to it.
Looking forward to you guys coming up.
Oh, we're going to be there first. Coming down from the Chicago area, Tony.
Yeah, I know. I know where you're coming from.
I've been on the run for 30-plus years to come down there to see races, so I'm looking forward to it as always.
Well, great. I definitely would love your feedback on it, you know?
Well, we'll have to have you back on the show then.
Yeah, and I absolutely love the Speedway. It's my second year, and I fell in love with it. It's a beautiful place to watch. It's great racing, and I can't wait for this weekend. I mean, Mark and I talked about it this weekend. I said, Tony's going to make a great show. He's in love with the track. He's enthusiasm. But I said, come race time, he's got his game face on, and he's a serious business. And Tony, listen, it's been great to have you back on here again tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, hey guys, it's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I love to do this, and I love to talk about the greatest track in America and the whole wide world, and anytime you guys are up my way, you know, not just for the All American, but anytime. Stop in and see us, but anything I can do, you know, I'm just a phone call away. All you got to do is call me up, and I'll be on your show anytime you need me, guys.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's much appreciated. We'd love to have you back on the show again. You're always a great, great guest to have on the show. Thank you so much.
Anytime, and you guys be careful coming up. See you this weekend.
We'll definitely make sure to say hello.
Yeah, sure. You guys be careful. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Oh, wow. Well, what do you think there, Mark?
You weren't kidding there, Rowdy. the man loves racing, and if we had more people like him, I think we'd be a lot better off.
I tell you, Tony, sounds like you and I felt like Friday. But they got an incredible Friday.
Very great analogy, Rowdy. Well, you and I have been going to races for a lot of years, and we've done and seen a lot of things. And what we were able to do on Friday was a great and new experience for us. The people we met, the things we saw, the things we got to do, it was my 50-plus, my almost 50 years of going to the races, it was right up there.
Well, I appreciate the email. That kind of stoked the fire again, didn't it, Mark?
It did. But wow, what a great guest Tony is, and you could just tell the enthusiasm, the love. It's in his heart. It's always going to be there until the time he's gone. So we need more people like Tony Formosa out there to be promoting races and promoting my favorite sport in the world.
Well, Mark, another great thing about it is the cost. I mean, $20 for the last 2 days, and you got, I mean, it sounded like he had a dozen guys from California or more. California to Nashville. That's not an easy track, is it?
No, it's, well, we talked with Mason a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about that, and there's a little bump, and he said it wasn't so little coming off of turn two. You have to negotiate that. That is the key to running good at Nashville. It's fast. It's the turns are quick. You really have a little bit of a straightaway to get some momentum going. You're probably doing 150, 160 when you're going into the corners there. It's a really quick, fast racetrack.
You know, there's a question I wanted to ask him. If Rusty Wallace had his driving school there, I think I'd like to go do some laps there.
I believe they have some kind of driving arrangement there. We'll definitely have to check in with that in the future and take advantage of it if we get a chance to. I'd be interested also, Rowdy.
I'd like to feel that bump myself.
I've seen a lot of calamity come off of that turn because of that little bump there. So, no, you and I'll point it out to you. I'll show you if you don't know where it's at. And we'll keep an eye on it next weekend. But looking forward to it, Rowdy. We're going to get to be together again, and we're going to see some good racing again. And it doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, it don't, Mark. I tell you, we're fortunate to be able to have met, and we've both kind of brought this show into a better place than I thought it was ever going to be. And you kind of got to understand and see more of that this weekend when you had Ron Drugger and the rest of the folks fully behind us. And that's incredible all of its own for two old country boys who love racing.
Oh, that's for sure. And though we got off our ARCA course just a little bit this past Monday night, a lot of the drivers that we're going to see this next weekend in Nashville are all of at least about a dozen of them have run ARCA at one point or time in their life. And, it's going to be fun. We're going to see a lot of familiar faces, Rowdy. So I'm pretty sure we'll have a good time again.
Well, you know, there's a lot of these drivers want to make it to ARCA. And the 400's how they get there, Mark.
It is. It's one of those marquee events. There's a triple crown for the super late models. It's kind of it's just there's a three race deal. There's no money or anything involved. It's all in pride. But if you can pull off the triple crown and super late models, you've done something. And it's the Winchester 400, the All American 400, and the Snowball Derby. That's a very difficult group of races to win alone, let alone win all three in 1 year, or in your career, let alone. So The All-American 400 is right up there. I'm glad to see Tony bringing it back to the to where it should be, and I'm looking forward to it immensely.
Well, I'm going to say, give Tony another shout-out and everybody involved at Nashville or at the Fairground Speedway at Nashville. You know, we appreciate it.
Out to Claire and especially Joe Carver. He's been great to work with. Everybody at the Fairgrounds has been great to work with. So I'm looking forward to seeing them all this weekend.
And Joe, too. You know, when I started working with the Fairgrounds when ARCA was there in April, and Joe was absolutely so helpful. I mean, he's the one that got Tony lined up. He's the one that got Bob Sargent lined up for me. He's the one that got our commercials ready for us. And, you know, that's what it takes. It takes teamwork. And Tony's got a team there. And when you get there, you see the teamwork all pulled together, down to the lady, the nice, sweet lady that's going to take you $5 to park. But your car's going to be safe. And
yes,
you know,
is.
That $5 goes a long way. Mark, it goes a long ways to keep that track going. And, you know, we lost our track in Birmingham. The mayor shut it down, and they tore it down before anybody could had any objections to it. It was already dismantled and tore down. And thank goodness for Tony for saving the fairgrounds, because it is absolutely a grand old lady.
Well, the mayor and the city of Nashville wanted to do the same thing with the Fairground Speedway, and if it wasn't for people like Formosa and a few others involved, Tony wasn't the only one. They had to work hard to get that situation taken care of and keeping the track open. So more power to them. Like I said, we need more people like Mr. Formosa out there.
Well, you know, really, I mean, what's your excuse? The weather's perfect. The temperature's perfect. The price of admission's perfect. The entertainment's perfect. Kids have got stuff to do. It's going to make for a great weekend. Nashville's perfect. If you haven't got nothing to do, drop what you thought you was going to do and come out to the fairgrounds. If you're there, see us, stop us. Stop us and let's talk. You know, Mark, that's what we did all weekend. We talked, and I said, you know, we're here all weekend. We was at Kentucky all weekend, and I said, listen, come Monday night. If you didn't get enough during the weekend, come on, join us on Monday night. We're going to rehash it. I'll fly again on Monday night.
Yes, we are. Next week's show is going to be kind of, I don't want to say bittersweet, because the last race of the year will be coming up, and it's hard to believe we only have that one race left.
Well, that's Kansas. It's called Kansas ARCA 150, and that's October the 13th is when they actually are able to start. But the race itself is on the 14th on a Friday night. That's going to be an FS1. On the FS1 broadcast, and you know, it was great to see Heather LeBeau back down in pit row as a pit row reporter, and she was on our show last Monday night. And Mark, you got to meet her. She's a great person, isn't she?
She is, and it was a pleasure to meet her. And she really gave us a few. She gave us a couple pointers and some. Some good information. So, yeah, she's a great gal. Hope to see her move up through the ranks. And someone you know on TV, it never hurts to know them.
Hey, and was asking me what I knew. What's the scoop, Rowdy? What's your scoop? What you know?
Well,
and I told her what I knew.
To have that banter back and forth and exchange ideas and thoughts and what we had heard and what she had heard and the whole thing. And, it was a lot of fun. We don't get to do that very often. So she's a true professional, and I wish her the best of luck, and she wished us the best of luck. So we're doing pretty good, I think.
I think so, too. We're fortunate to be able to be where we're at right now. We're just real lucky to be where we're at.
We are, and we're just going to get a little bit better each time. And, I think it was a little eye-opener for both of us this past Friday in the Archer Garage area. So made me feel good, makes me feel I want to get out there and do even more and even better.
Let's give the All-American one more go around there.
Saturday and Sunday, it's the 32nd Annual All-American 400 at the Fairground Speedway Nashville, presented by Freeman Web Company. It's the return of the Super Late Models, ready to do 800 laps of gear jamming, door slamming battle. On the high banks of the Fairground Speedway Nashville, over 120 drivers competing for the cash. Two incredible days of racing action. On Saturday, Green Flag drops at 5:30 and featuring the legend, Pro Mods, Front Runners, Your Stock, Super Street, and the Sportsman Series. Also on Saturday, free bouncy house for the kids, money drop, and TV giveaway. And then on Sunday, get ready for the big one. At 12 noon, the green flag drops on the All-American 400. It's pro late models and super late models battling for the prize. For times and tickets, go to fairgroundspeedwaynashville.com. It's the big one. October 1st and 2nd, the 32nd Annual All-American 400. Presented by Freeman Web Company at the Fairgrounds Speedway. Way Nashville, where the legend continues.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. How about you?
Well, I need to work at least three more days. You know, I was wondering, I bet Tony don't sleep very much this week.
He sounds like he's a busy fellow. He has to run not only the fairgrounds, but he has his engine business also, so... Yeah, I can. He's quite the guy. I don't see where he gets much sleep at all.
I don't either. And he's at the shop working tonight. It don't sound like he lets up very much.
He two engines for the local drivers at Nashville, and I'm not surprised that he's out there getting a few people probably tuned up for this weekend. So. He does a few different other divisions, so he's going to be a slightly busy fellow, I think.
Well, Mark, again, I appreciate you being on and helping me stir this ship in the right direction. Hey, at least we know we're headed uphill. It's looking good, my friend. Next year, we've said. Hey. And I don't care if it was a lot of folks thought it was just going to be a 2-day tour, but it's I think we're marooned on the island and we're going to make the best out of it as we can, and we already have.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, I have one question for you, Rowdy.
All right.
We got Charlie on tonight. Is he listening?
Charlie's out in Vegas. He's doing a little R&R out there.
Okay, well, let me know next time he's on. I want to thank him for those great cards we got this past week.
Man, I'm telling you, it was awesome. Again, thank you, Charlie, for the cards.
Yes, sir.
Didn't hand them all out, but we tried our best, and we got this weekend. We're going to get them in the hands of folks in California this weekend.
We're gonna really mix it up. We're going to have a good time weather-wise, race-wise, everything-wise. And, if you're out there listening, come on out to Nashville, get a business card from us so you know how to get on the show, and call us up.
Well, Mark, thanks a lot. And I'm going to close
this
thing out with it. Hey, thank
you,
Mark.
Yeah, you got weather
to
do.
Forward to... Well, there again, Patchy Ground Fogs, he's down with a little illness, and I talked to him just a few minutes ago before the show started, and he's down having a little health problems, but he told the doctor that he had to get better before next Monday night because we got to have the weather from Panama City.
Well, I hope he's feeling better. My best to him.
Well, he wasn't feeling too good. He mustered up enough power to call me, and I said, hey, and trying to apologize, but listen, he does the best he can do. He's old too, and he's just having a little health problems, but it's just a little bump in the road for him. He's going to be all right.
Well, that's good. So, well, you know what? I'll give a real quick weather forecast. It's going to be dark with slight chances of light by morning, and that's it for me for this week, and I will talk with you later, Rowdy.
Thank you, Mark. Enjoy
you
it.
You have a good one. My best to Diana. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The chase for the NASCAR Spring Cup returns October 21st through 23rd. Call 1-877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.
Good night, everybody, and we'll be rowdy next Monday night. Thanks a lot.